All right. We do have a few issues that I need to address. First of all, I notice over here on this cast, someone has written, Pastor Mosley is a true migraine. I'm trying to decide if that's a compliment or not. All right? You know, I'm thinking, a true migraine. But then they said something about the best team. So I'm going to take that as a compliment, all right? I'll do the best I can. Then there is a rumor that's going around camp. I heard about it today. It was relayed to me that Pastor Mosley would be in the swimming pool tonight doing a cannonball, all right? I just want to let you know that is a totally unfounded rumor, all right? Pastor Mosley will not be there, okay? So, and if some of you had your hopes up, nah, ain't going to happen, all right? So you might as well forget that. Then we have some unfinished business from last night. Because there was a couple of young ladies that we need to deal with, so... I hate it, but I got to thinking, you know, it'd be terrible if I spent the whole week thinking the actions of two was representative of the whole group, right? You wouldn't want that on you, right? So I told you we would discuss that situation. So I need those two young ladies, all right? Alexis Andahar and Megan Moore. I need y'all to come here, right here, please, all right? It's time to stand at the judgment bar. Okay, it is just time to be here. And got to thinking about this, you know. Got to thinking about the seriousness. Assault is a felony. You do realize that, all right? And a criminal felony, you know, criminal assault and... not only an assault, but as I mentioned last night, a conspiracy to assault. And I thought, man, what am I going to do? So I consulted with some great judicial minds. I got a call in. We talked to the Supreme Court. Then I talked to that great criminal mind, criminal justice, Pastor Tom. And we decided that something of this serious a nature probably demanded at least an hour, okay, with the bathroom detail. So if Dr. Plunger would come ahead, all right, we're ready to equip y'all for the duty tomorrow. Notice there are mops, there are, come on ahead, you might as well, you know, we want you to be equipped. There's a mop, there's toilet paper. To retire. So you have all of that stuff. And so don't be uncooperative. It could add to your sentence. Take the plunger. You can put on the glove, okay? Put on the glove. We'll give you a chance. We're not asking you to do anything that's unhygienic. We wouldn't do that. I don't know. You know. I can, you know. So if you would prepare them for their detail tomorrow. And now, however, since you did come today and apologize, and you did make up some lies to compliment, yes. But since you did come and apologize, and after all, our whole theme this week is what? Mercy. So we're going to give you mercy. And you don't have to clean the bathroom tomorrow, okay? We're going to just let you off, all right? But just remember the next time you're tempted to assault someone, all right, that life can go downhill quickly, all right? Thank you so much. You can go back to your seats, all right? All right, if you will, take your Bibles tonight. I want you to open them to our theme verse for the week. You do that, open them for our theme verse. Now, if you are sitting out there thinking, what is it? Well, it's John chapter 3, okay? John chapter 3. So if you open your Bibles there for a little bit, we're going to go from there. By the way, I will say this to you, just from watching this afternoon, you good folks here have absolutely no idea what hot is, all right? I just want to tell you that right now. I saw you out there, but I had the fan out with the mist on it and everything. I'm standing out there thinking, man, bless God, how cool it is here today. And y'all are acting like you're dying from the heat. You don't know what hot is, all right? But I invite you at any time, most especially maybe late July or early August, come visit me. I will show you what hot is all about, all right? And we'll be glad to welcome you. All right, you have your teen devotional book, right? Okay, I want you to open it up to this morning's devotion. Would you do that? Open it up to this morning's devotion. Now, surely you've already taken care of this, all right? I want you to open it up to that page where on the left it'll be number 2. What mercy did God extend to Lot? I want you to open it to that page. You with me, all right? So if you get it there, now I want you to look on the other page across from that and look at that third blue line. All right? And it says, who does God want to extend mercy to? Now, what's the answer? Well, it's the answer is me, okay? It's because it's each and every one of us. Who does God want to extend mercy to? Me. Every one of us ought to say, me. He wants to extend mercy to you. And I want you to hang on to that thought tonight, okay? God's mercy has been given. It is available. It is available. John chapter 3, all right? You got that? Now, while you're holding your hand there, go back to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Sermon's going to be 3 hours long tonight. We're going to preach all the way from Numbers to John. So it will take a while, and we'll do the best we can. So if you'll just stay with me and don't go to sleep, we'll be in good shape. All right, John chapter 3 and then Numbers chapter 21. We're going to look at John 3 first. The Bible says, and as Moses, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then in Numbers chapter 21, this is what the reference is to this account in the Old Testament, where Moses lifted up that serpent. And I want you to look with me in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We ask you to meet with us again in the service. Lord, thank you for the message this morning. Lord, what a blessing that was. And I pray you'd help these young folks not to forget what they've heard so far. But Lord, we ask you to deal with hearts again tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now listen, I need you to stay with me as I give the introduction tonight and want you to do one favor for me. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at me. All right? Because we, and when I say we, that means me, and as we say down south, y'all, okay? That means me and all of you. Me and all of you, we are good at what the people of Israel did in Numbers chapter 21. We're good at that, all right? We complain, we gripe, we bellyache. We can find more stuff to complain about than you can think of, all right? We complain against leaders, and we complain against God. You said, now, preacher, I may gripe and I may complain, but I don't complain against God. Really? Have you ever thought to yourself, maybe even said it, why did it have to rain today? Well, who sends the rain? God sends the rain. So if you complain about it, you're complaining against God. We say things, you know, well, why did you let that happen, God? Hey, why doesn't God stop that? Why doesn't God change this? Why doesn't God destroy them? You be careful. Because we can be just as guilty as Israel was. We can gripe. We can complain. We can bellyache. We can complain against Him. Now, I wish it wasn't so, but it is. And God forgive us for speaking in such a manner. Now, listen, when this occurred in Numbers chapter 21... notice when that took place in verse 5 and they complained against, they spake against God, they spake against Moses. The very next verse says God sent judgment on them, and He sent judgment in the form of fiery serpents. Judgment drove them, though, to confess their sin. Judgment drove them to confess their sin. But here's what I want you to see, all right? I want you to see tonight how God made it easy for them to get things right. How God made it easy for them to get things right. Go back. You got your Bible open there in Numbers chapter 21. All right, I want you to look in verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Now what was their request? Notice, their request was pray unto the Lord, that He take away the serpents from us. Then the Bible says Moses prayed for the people, but the Bible does not say God took away the serpents. But God made it easy for these folks to get things right, and He made it easy for them to fix the problem. What could have been simpler, all right? And what could have been simpler for them when He said to them in verse 8, He said, look, you make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and then it'll come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he pays a great sum of money. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, hey, when he takes 7 laps around the tabernacle. It doesn't say that. It says, when he's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. A very simple thing, a very easy thing to do. God said to them, if you're bitten, you just look and you'll live. Look and you'll live. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can mark it down. God has done the same for you and I. He's made it easy for us. You said, no, man, preacher, life is so hard, it's so difficult, and everything that's going on and all that's required of us. You hear me? It's simple. It's easy. Here's what God says for you and I. Just as He said to them, He said, you look and you'll live. You look and you'll live. First of all, He said, you look to the sun and you can look for life. You want life? Well, you look to the sun. The Son of Man was lifted up upon the old rugged cross. He died to give us life. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And you know what we're doing here in camp? We're trying to lift up Jesus Christ so you'll see Him and you'll be drawn to Him. Why? Because we want you to look and live. We want you to live. We're not here tonight. We're not here this week to make your life tiresome, burdensome, or troublesome. We're here tonight so you can find out something about life. We're here tonight and we're here this week to teach you and preach to you about life and how life can be so marvelous and life can be so wonderful. But it starts, my friend, when you look to the Son of God for life. You have to look to Him. Notice they came confessing. They said, we've sinned. That's where it starts. Well, you realize, you know what? I'm a sinner. Me right here, I'm a sinner. And then I'm coming making a request. Dear God, I want you to forgive me. Folks, that's exactly what the Lord wants you and I to do tonight. He wants us to look and live. He wants us to look and live. He wants us to look toward the Son of God. We sang a verse a while ago of that song, Look and Live. There's another verse. Now, I'm going to sing it and jump in with me, if you will, if you know this different verse, all right? I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when He made me whole. 'Twas believing on His name, hallelujah, I trusted and He saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Hey, I'll tell you how I came. I came as a 9-year-old boy. Man, I'd been under conviction for weeks. We were studying in the book of Revelation, and I knew what was going to happen. I knew the rapture was going to take place. I knew my dad was a Christian. I knew my mom was a Christian. I did have my doubts about my older brother, but I was pretty sure he was a Christian, all right? And so he was saved, and I thought, man, I'm going to die without Christ. They're all saved. But I'm not. And the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me. I mean, I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to get saved. I'll tell you how bad it was at night. At night, I couldn't go to sleep. Hey, wait a minute, that's 9 years old. I couldn't go to sleep. I'd lay there at night, and I'll tell you what I'd do. Now, remember, I was nine, what I'm fixing to tell you. 9-year-old boys are not the brightest kids in the world, okay? I was 9 years old, and at 9 years old, I thought, you know what? Mom's saved, Dad's saved, my brother's saved. Hey, he and I, we lived in a house that actually lived in one side of a duplex, and there was one bedroom, and then there was a big room, family room, kitchen, dining room, den, game room, every other room in the house except the bathroom was right there, all right? We had a bed in the corner of it. My brother and I slept in the same bed, and I knew he was saved. I knew I wasn't saved, and I knew the rapture could occur at any moment. I knew the trumpet might sound, and so I would sleep with my leg on my brother's leg. Now, remember, I was 9 years old. 9-year-old kid ain't very smart, all right? And I'm thinking to myself, if the rapture comes and the trumpet sounds, I'll feel my brother move. And when he does start up, I'm going to grab him and pray, Lord, save me now, all right? I don't think that would have worked. But I was only 9 years old, all right? Hey, by the way, I had to stay awake till my brother went to sleep. There ain't no way in the world he'd let me sleep with my leg on him and him awake, all right? That wasn't happening. Hey, that's the kind of conviction I was under. You ever been there? You ever been there? I mean, that kind of conviction. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you your salvation experience has got to be just like mine. But maybe you're here tonight and you're under that kind of conviction. Because the truth of the matter is, you know you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never put your faith in Him. You've never looked to Him. Hey, you may have gone through some religious exercises. It's possible you've been baptized, but you've really never been saved, which means you've really never been baptized, all right? It just means you got wet. You may have been confirmed. You may have taken catechism. You may have been sanferized. You may have been homogenized, all right? But you've never been born again. Never been born again. Listen, there's no reason in this world for you to die and go to hell. Because the mercy of God's extended to you tonight. You said, I don't think so. Pastor Mosley, you don't understand. I'm a nobody. I was standing out on the parking lot here on Monday when folks were coming in. Myself and Brother Hutchins, I believe his name is, from North Carolina. And the man, y'all maybe have seen him, came up on that motorized wheelchair. And we began to talk to him. Brother Hutchins asked, he said, and who are you? And he said, "I'm a nobody." I reached over and shook his hand and I said, "I'm nobody number two. Because I'm going to tell you something, I'm nobody either. But you don't have to be somebody important in the world's eyes to realize Jesus Christ died for you." You said, "Nobody else cares about me." He does. He does. You said, "You don't know what I've been through." I do not, but He does. He does. You listen to me, young people. He loves you, and He died for you. He died for you. I hope when you worked in that teen devotional, when you looked at that blue line there that asked that question, who does God want to extend mercy to? I hope you put me, because it's to you. Maybe put your name there. Listen, He wants to extend mercy to you tonight. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You said, "Oh, come on, how bad could you have been when you were 9 years old?" I'll tell you this, I was a sinner headed for hell. But He extended mercy to me. And I remember that Sunday night as a 9-year-old boy. I was on the left side. My dad was a pastor. We had just built a new building. We were down in Florida. He had built a new building. We had moved the church about 5 miles into town. And the name of the church was First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. There was no tile. There was no carpet on the floor. It was a bare concrete floor. We didn't have pews. We had old oak chairs, folding chairs. Most uncomfortable chair in the world. Even I couldn't sleep in church in one of them, all right? I mean, they were uncomfortable as they could be. But I remember that Sunday night, we stood. We stood for the invitation. Hey, listen, I'd been battling for weeks. I'd been battling for weeks about it. I knew I needed to get saved. The invitation began, and I was right here against the wall on the left side of the building, headed that direction. And I remember, now you listen to me, I remember I stepped out to go forward to get saved. And when I stepped out, the old devil said to me, not in an audible voice, but almost, "Get back over here." I stepped back. I'd been listening to him for a long time. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to hell for the devil. And I stepped out again, and I didn't give him a chance to say anything. I took off, man. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that night to save my soul. You know what I had to do? Just look and live. Just look and live. I looked to the Son of God. I called upon Him. He saved my soul. I'm going to ask you this, and I don't want you to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about what your answer would be if I did ask you personally, what is your salvation story? Could you tell me where you got saved? Could you tell me when? Now, I don't remember the date. I've said it a multitude of times. When I was 9 years old, I was interested in 3 dates. My birthday, Christmas, and the last day of school. I didn't care about any date other than that. I was interested in those 3, all right? Listen, I don't know the date, but I remember that night. I know where I was. I could take you there. It's my understanding the building is all gone, nothing left. And the last I heard, the whole lot was cleared off, nothing was there. But I still believe I could take you tonight and we could get pretty close to where I was sitting that Sunday night when I got saved. What's your story? Listen, teenagers, the worst thing in the world be you come to camp this week and go home without Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's just so easy. Just look to Him. Look to the Son for life. Look to the Son for life. You say, "Pastor Mosley, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I could take you to the place. I could tell you about it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. So what's there for me in this look and live stuff?" I'm glad you asked. Then you need to look to the Scriptures for light. You've got life. You've been saved. But now you need to look for light, because there's all kinds of questions in life. There's all kinds of situations that come up. There's all kinds of problems that develop. You need to look to the Scriptures for light on those questions and on those problems, so you'll know how to live the life God's given you. You'll be able to take it and say, I know what to do. Now, you're familiar with this verse. I think you can probably say a lot of it with me. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my what? And a what? Unto my path. You know the verse. But do you look to the Scriptures for light? For the life that you have? Is that where you look? Do you go there? Hey, it's got the answers to all the questions. It's got the answers to the question of life. Hey, what should I wear? You know, how should I dress? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. All the guidelines are there to help you. They're there. Hey, how should I talk? What kind of language? How should my speech be? It's in the Bible. It'll tell you how to do that. It's given direction. You that are 18. Anybody 18? Okay. A few of you 18. It's not going to be long. You're going to be thinking about the question, who am I going to marry? You guys just raise your hand. Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that too. All right, just looking at you. But, you know, where there's life, there's hope. All right? Hey, listen, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you'll find the answer in the Bible. You're not going to find it on some stupid entertainer telling you. You're not going to get it there. You're not going to get it on Dr. Phil. You're not going to get it on Oprah. Hey, these people, they don't have the foggiest idea how to go about finding somebody to marry. Hey, girls, I'll tell you, you need a man that's got more than muscles and a mustache, okay? There's just a little more important than that. Fellows, you need a gal that's more than just a pretty face, all right? One of my favorite poems is, gentlemen, before you're wed, ascertain how you'll be fed. Delve into each pan and pot that your bride-to-be has got. All right? Hey, there's a lot of them. They marry, though her kisses please. What about her recipes? All right? You better consider that. Somebody said, we'll live on love. You won't live long. All right? You won't make it. You said, how am I going to find that partner for life? How am I going to find that person? Hey, get in the Bible. The Bible will tell you what kind of person to look for. I want to tell you what, that gal sitting back yonder is my girlfriend. She's my first wife and my favorite wife. Tell you something else, she's the best friend I could ever have. I thank God for her. I thank God for her. I believe with all my heart God gave her to me. I have told her parents, thank you for raising a lady to be my wife. Because that's what made her. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. I've looked at a lot of other people and I've wondered, man, why in the world did you marry the person you married? You should have known you were going to have trouble. And they did. Hey, listen, you want the answer to that? It's in the book. It's in the Scriptures, all right? Look to the Scriptures for light on this life. You say, well, what about what I'll do with my career? What kind of career should I pursue? Get in the Scriptures. It'll help you figure that out. Now, the problem is there's a lot of you think the only thing you'll find in the Bible is if you're going to be a preacher or missionary, full-time Christian service. No, there's more in the Bible than that. It'll give you direction. It will help you. All right? It will help you. My friend, after you get married, the Bible tell you how to put your marriage together and keep it together. It's there. It's for light, all right? It is for light. It's there. Where should I go to church? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I was talking to Brother Haywood earlier this week. He was talking to me about how he wound up at Mount Zion Baptist Church. You know, part of it was just in the Bible. He read the Bible, made him dissatisfied with where he was going to church, and he knew there had to be something better. There is. The Bible will give you directions for that kind of thing, all right? Hey, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live, but also take a look in the book. Gee, if you read it, a blessing you'll receive. You will learn a lot of things. You'll be richer than a king. Take a look in the book and believe. Hey, folks, that's where it's at. Look to the Word of God and live. Know how to live. You know, you get around a whole bunch of people in this whole world have no idea how to live life. They are out there. They're hunting for fun. They're after fulfillment, and they can't find it anywhere because they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in the wrong place. Oh, listen, we're talking about a life that's exciting, a life that's fulfilling, a life that you can look back on later and say, boy, I've absolutely got no regrets in life. If I were to die tomorrow, I'd look back on my life and I would not be able to say to you, well, I sure regret serving God. I've never heard anybody make that statement. Let me get this right. 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I buried a friend of 47 years. I stood before his family, good host of folks in our church, friends of his, church members. I'd known Ronnie for 47 years. Hey, for almost exactly a year, he had been in and out of the hospital, rehab centers, and all that kind of stuff, all kinds of problems. And I'd gone to talk to him, and he and I would talk, and he said, hey, he'd call me by name and he said, listen, when I get out of the hospital, when I get out of here, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hey, he was a talented guy. Now, not in the way maybe a lot of people think, but he was one of those guys that could take a balloon, blow it up and tie it and make all kinds of things out of it. Hey, that's a talent. God could use that. He could have used that in children's church and the bus ministry. He said, I want to do that. He could play the guitar. He could sing. He could play a harmonica. He was funny. He had a tremendous personality. And he said it over and over again. He said, when I get out of here, when I get well, I'm coming back to church. I'm going to get faithful. I'm going to serve God. But he never got a chance to. I want to tell you this. I stood at that funeral and I said to those folks that were there, if there was one thing Ronnie would tell you when he came back, he'd tell you this for sure. He'd tell you, don't waste your life the way I did. You know why? Because he didn't look in the Scriptures for how to live. He didn't look there. He got occupied other places. Hey, listen to my friend. You take a look. You look to the Son for life, and you look to the Scriptures for light on this life. And number three, you look to the servant for leadership. You look to the servant for leadership. You said, who do you mean? I mean the man of God God has put in your life. That individual that God's placed in your life, your pastor, your youth pastor, your youth worker, your pastor's wife, some godly individual, I mean godly individual, that God's put in your life, you look to that servant for leadership. You need a leader. All of us need to realize, hey, we need to be sure we're following the right person. Young people are notorious for following the wrong individual. But it doesn't end with youth. When you hit 20 years old, you do not suddenly become brilliant, all right? You're still going to struggle with the same thing. You need to look for that servant for leadership. God's put somebody there to lead you. God made it easy for you, just as He made it easy for you by giving you the Scriptures for light on the life. He's given you a man of God. He's given you a servant to look to who will lead you. He'll guide you. Hey, listen, these counselors that are here, getting up here and proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were mentally incompetent because they can't count the 30, all right? You know what? They're here for you. They're here for you. Some of these folks, man, they're not getting much sleep. They're not getting much sleep. You know why? For you. For you. So when you want advice and you need leadership, you go to your friend. And if you won't get mad at me, let me say this gently to you, okay? Your friends are just as dumb as you are, okay? I mean, now wait a minute, don't get mad at me. My friends, you know, when I was a teenager, my friends were just as dumb as I was, okay? I'm not trying to say and talk down to you. I'm just telling you that's it. That's the truth. But God made it easy for you. He's put you in a church. He's put you in a place. You have access to some leadership. You have access. Hey, you've looked to Jesus and trusted Him. You have life. You've got the Scriptures and you can look to them and find light for the life that you have. But there's going to be questions and you're going to say sometimes, boy, I can't seem to find the answer I need. It's all right. God made it easy. He put a leader there. And He said, if you'll just go to Him, you'll look to Him, He'll help you. He'll help you. Hey, they're already trying to help you three times a week. They're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, well, all they're doing is preaching. Yeah, they're trying to help you, okay? That's what it's all about. They're trying to help you. You need to learn to look to them. You need to take your eyes off your friends. You need to take your eyes off of the famous. And you need to find that servant of God that's given his life to God, that's there to lead you. Hey, it's very simple. Look and live. Look and live. You're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to look to the Son for everlasting life. You need to look to Him. You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure. The Bible said it over and over again. There's many of you can testify. You look to Him for life, and He gave you eternal life. He'll give it to you too. But you've been looking somewhere else. Quit looking somewhere else. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Son of God for life everlasting. You're here. You're saved. How faithful are you in the Word of God? How faithful are you in the Word of God? There's Scriptures in here to memorize. How much of it have you committed to memory? Are you looking to the Scriptures for a life that'll be exciting? The most exciting life in the world is lived by people that serve God. I could tell you, I could stand here tonight and tell you a bunch of stories of exciting things that's happened to me strictly because I'm serving the Lord. They'd have never happened had I not served Him. Never happened. I read a great deal. I don't think I've got 6,000 books, but it's getting close, all right? But I read a great deal. I picked up a little book back here this morning about a fellow who was in Vietnam, and he got saved. Great story, exciting story, but he'd tell you the excitement began when he trusted Christ. And then as he's got in the Word of God, hey, that's the exciting life. You look to the Son for everlasting life. You look to the Scriptures for the exciting life, and you look to the servant for an exemplary life. There's the example for you to follow. There's the leader. Now, where are you looking for life? Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Just let me ask you a few questions, all right? Would you be honest with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Folks, it's an extremely simple message, but you need to look and live. You need to look and live. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you be honest with me tonight? honest with yourself and honest with God. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I didn't say, do you think so? Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? If you do, would you just slip your hand up, hold it up? You said, preacher, I know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of it beyond a shadow of a doubt. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. There were some didn't raise their hand. That's the ones I'm talking to now. Now, if you raised your hand, you keep your head bowed and you prayed for other people. You're here tonight and you couldn't raise that hand and say, I know for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about it enough to raise your hand, hold it up and say, preacher, I am concerned about it, and I want you to think about me. I want you to pray for me. Anybody like that, you'll slip your hand up. Be honest with yourself. Thank you. There's one. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, that one that raised that hand, if you meant business, it's worth preaching this sermon tonight for you if you'll trust Christ. Hey, if you raised your hand, you said, preacher, I don't know if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Would you look up and look at me? Would you be willing to do that? Just look up and look at me for a second. Did you mean it? You're concerned about it? Would you come and let somebody talk to you? Nobody's going to make you do anything, all right? Would you come and just talk to that person? Nobody will make you do anything, but they want to talk to you. We're concerned about you. All right, now you young people, you raised your hand. You said, I'm saved. Let me ask you this. How much time do you spend in the Bible daily seeking, looking for things to help you in life? Anybody here say, Pastor Mosley, I am not in the Bible the way I should be. Would you raise your hand? I'm just not in the Bible that I should be the way I should be. All right, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Good. How many of you raise your hand and say, Pastor Mosley, I don't follow the leader God has given me the way I should. I may be a little bit rebellious. I don't follow that leader. Thank you. Yeah, I just want you to be honest, young people. Be honest. Thank you. Now listen, it's time to do something about it. It's time to do something about it. God's speaking to you. Now's the time. There's counselors here. They're ready to pray with you, and they'd love to pray with you. Sometimes it'd be great if you'd pray with that counselor. You'd pray with somebody and let them help you from the Word of God. We're going to stand. Would you stand quickly, all right? I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to pray for you. But if God's dealing with you, I want you to do something about it after the prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to meet with us tonight. Lord, bless this invitation, and may you use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the piano plays, would you come? If God spoke to you, you raise your hand, you meant business about it, you come on, all right? Don't wait on somebody else. You do what needs to be done in your life. You help yourself, all right? It's easy, but you do have to look, all right? You do have to look. You come.
As these continue to pray, I'd like to ask a few follow-up questions with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Pastor Mosley preached in his first point about salvation. One person raised their hand and is being dealt with, but how about you? How about you? How many of you would say, There has been a time that I have accepted Christ. But boy, do I doubt. And I doubt often. Would you raise your hand? You say, I know I've been saved. But I doubt. And I doubt often. Sometimes it's not what I like to think about, and I don't like hearing it preached, but I've done it. And I would like to be honest before the Lord. Some of you who raised your hand would say, I'd pull out my devotional and I'd write a commitment before the Lord tonight to talk to somebody tonight about it. Would you raise your hand? Talk to a parent? Maybe a cabin counselor? Maybe a pastor, a youth pastor? How many of you who raised your hand would say, I'll do that. I want to talk tonight. I know I've been saved. I've trusted the Christ, but I doubt, and I doubt often, and I'm willing to talk to somebody tonight about it. Would you raise your hand? I see a few hands across the auditorium. How many of you would say about the scripture reading? How many of you would say, I raised my hand about that earlier. And I even went forward tonight because I struggle in my Bible reading. I would like to write a commitment before the Lord tonight in my devotional that I'm going to read my Bible every day for 2 weeks. And I'm going to do something more than just read. I want to keep myself accountable with my parents, maybe a friend, maybe a pastor, maybe a youth pastor. How many of you would say, not only will I read my Bible every day for the next 2 weeks, but I'll keep myself accountable. Would you raise your hand? Tonight sometime, write who you'll keep yourself accountable to. Share with them something that you got from your devotions. Last but not least, some of you raised your hand and perhaps you dealt with the Lord and perhaps the Lord is still tugging at your heart about following godly leadership. Maybe it's your parents that you've rebelled against. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's a youth pastor. Maybe it's a ministry leader in your church or a youth worker or even just some adult that has said something to you back at your home church. And how many of you would say that I'd commit tonight, I'd commit to asking for godly counsel from somebody next week. I'm going to talk to somebody next week and I want to get godly counsel, be it a parent, pastor, pastor's wife. How many of you say, I'll do that. I'll commit to godly counsel. I will go and I will seek it and I will listen to it. Would you raise your hand? You say, I'd be willing to commit to that. Seeking godly counsel about something in your life. I see a hand. I see 2, 3. Godly counsel. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege it is to hear from you. We thank you, Lord, for this camp, for all the fun we can have in it. But Lord, the most important part of our night is what we just went through and what we're about to do, the hearing and the doing of the Word of God. Father, I pray for every person who heard the message tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to look to you for that mercy and believe that you give it and act accordingly. Lord, I pray for those who are being dealt with about salvation. Lord, I pray that you would save them if they're not and take away the doubts, Lord, if they are. I pray for those who have made commitments tonight before you that you would help them, Lord, to follow through with those commitments. I thank you and give you all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.